with you again. It's been a long time, but we are the Coltranes. Now, some of you might remember us because the last time I was here, I had hair. It has since departed, so anyhow, it's less to maintain. But we are the Coltranes. Think about that for a minute. A train that carries coal, okay? Coltranes. We are your missionaries carrying the gospel to the unreached areas in the Philippines, training national pastors, establishing churches, the Coltranes. A couple of things I want to mention to you. Of course, the very first one is how much my wife and I appreciate your faithfulness to God. Because I find people that are faithful to God will be faithful in other areas in serving God. So the faithfulness in the Lord, the faithfulness to your local church here and your pastor, and your faithfulness to all your missionaries, and especially to us over these many years that you've been supporting us, and we really do appreciate that. We don't take it lightly. A couple of things I want to mention to you about the slides. Number one, our national that I'm working with right now, his name is Ruel, R-U-A-L, Ruel. Pray for him. He graduated from Bible college. He's 30 years old. He graduated from Bible college last March, called to preach, a good young preacher. And he knows he's where God wants him, but he's not sure yet about if God wants him to pastor there. I think he's just a little timid, but, you know, and I can't force him. I wouldn't anyway. But I told him, I said, that's okay. I'm not going to ask you to leave because you don't know if you want to be the pastor and if God hasn't told you about being pastor here or not. But I said, I'm going to train you as if you are, and if God moves you, then, you know, you'll be prepared to go elsewhere and take care of that. The other thing is, I saw the thing about the school. Now, that high school has 3,000 students in it. Our town only has 2,000 people. So they pull in from surrounding areas. It's a big opportunity. And I won't go and take the time to go into the story about the principal and how we met and started things, but the Lord began to open a door just before we were getting ready to come home. And so what I want you to pray about, that when we get back, and by the way, I just got her phone number just recently. She gave it to Ruel, and he sent it to me, so we'll probably do some texting over the next few weeks. But what I want to do when I get back is present to her a series of lessons on values, which we can do and have Christian-based values and get the Word of God in there, and be able to present that to those students in school. And the reason I say pray about it is because the biggest opposition we have, and let me preface this, I love people. I don't care what their religion is. And our biggest religion in our place is Roman Catholicism. Now, if you have friends or family that are Roman Catholic, I'm not taking a shot at them. But I can tell you one thing. I hate their doctrine. I hate what they teach, along with any other religion that's not teaching the Word of God. And see, they go into that school and all the other schools, prime time, mandatory that the students are to be there and teach their bilge. Okay? Now, our kids, parents have pulled them out and told them, hey, our kids go to, my children go to our church and we don't want them hearing this. And so they don't go. And I appreciate the parents taking that stand. But you pray that God will open that door when we get in there, because that's a lot of people that we can get the gospel to. And so please remember that. Turn, if you will, to Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 13. Book of Acts, chapter 13. Try to do two things here, and I'm not really smart enough to do two things, but we're going to try it anyway. When we started the work in MacArthur years ago, and by the way, this is MacArthur Leyte, named after General Douglas MacArthur, okay? And we live 5 minutes from Red Beach, where he came ashore, those of you that know your World War II history. And when we started that work, frankly, the day we started the church, we started our missions program. And the whole heartbeat of MacArthur Independent Baptist Church is world evangelism. Has been, is still, and will continue to be that way as long as they stay in tune with God. And not only there in the town of MacArthur, but throughout the world. They support 7 missionaries there. And I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But the whole thing is, is the emphasis is put on world evangelism. Now, that's not new to you because I know enough about you. I haven't been down here in a long time, but I know enough about your pastor and this church. That's the paramount thing you've got going here, and that's why God's still blessing you. That's why God is still blessing you, because it's important to God about people knowing the gospel. It's important. It's so important. It's one, you know, you think about someone's dying words, you listen to them, you take note to it. Well, one of the last things that Christ did before he went back to heaven was to tell his church, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher. And I heard just a few weeks ago, I think it turned over 7 billion people now on this earth. 7 billion people on this earth. And in the Philippines, when I was raising my support, I was being told, man, the Philippines is evangelized. That's a lie. You might as well say America's evangelized. Now, Philippines has religion, just like America has religion, but it's not evangelized. I can still find new towns in the Philippines, most of them are smaller, where there is no, I mean no gospel witness whatsoever, nothing. Nothing. That's hard. Unless you've traveled in other countries in the world, it's hard for us in America to realize that. But there are places in the world no gospel message at all. And I'm just funny enough to believe that God's still calling people. I just don't know if they're listening. I go to church to church to church and see good men that have been trained by their pastor or been to college. And I know they got to have a calling from God. I understand that. But the fact of it is, we got churches with lots of people sitting around that could be on foreign soil doing a work for God. Got quiet. You know, I'm. Some of you that are getting a little older, you realize in our time's running short. And folks, there's still lots of work to be done. And everybody deserves to hear about Christ at least coming the first time. First time. Now, with that said, so we started the work. The purpose of our work, just like the purpose of missions in the Word of God, is threefold. Number one, it's evangelization. Evangelization. Acts chapter 13, there you find the church at Antioch. You've got a group of men there that's listed. Paul and Barnabas, there's a couple of them there listed. And the Holy Spirit says, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas unto the work whereunto I have called them. Folks, there's a work that God has given to his church. Our commander-in-chief, the head of the church, the founder of the church, Jesus Christ himself, has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to evangelize. Both here in Clayton. And again, I know you're doing this. I'm not up here fussing at anybody. It's kind of like over in Romans 12, verse 1 or 2, somewhere along there, where it says, renew your mind. Review a little bit. Because Pastor and I were talking about a little bit before. Satan is attacking, and he's attacking hard. And sad to say, because of the economy, there's a lot of churches that are backing up instead of going forward. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying the fact is, we serve an immutable God, meaning he doesn't change. He has given us a command. He has made provisions to fulfill that command, to do that work, to provide for that work. And since God doesn't change, I don't think the command's changed. And I don't think the promises in the Word of God has changed. So therefore, for those of us that are doing it, keep on keeping on. And don't back up. Amen. There's not a backup gear in the Lord's work. Man, you put on, he told us to put on the whole armor of God. God saved us. He figures we got enough sense. We ought to know how to get dressed before we go out in the mornings. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And I can't find anything for the back. And for those of you that were in military, you know what would happen to a guy that turns and runs. Not only will he get hurt, but there's a chance that he will hurt those that are with him. Others get hurt. So evangelization. Go to the work whereunto I've called them. And that church sent them out and took care of them. So evangelization, and it's mentioned all through the Gospels there in Acts 1:8. And this is nothing new to you. I understand that. But in Acts 1:8, he says both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. So all at the same time. All at the same time. You might not be able to get to every place. One church may not be able to get to every place, but one church empowered by the Spirit of God can make a difference. Can make a difference locally and around the world. Next thing is to exhort through the preaching of the Word of God. Folks started growing in our place. When I first got there, here was the mindset. Now, our folks are poor, humanly speaking. They average $2.50 to $3 a day if they got a job per family. And the mindset was, at the beginning, they're looking this way. They're looking at their circumstances and saying, Pastor, we can't do the work of God. We don't have any money. But they began to grow. As your pastor well knows, God commands us to preach the whole counsel of God. And that includes about giving. Like my pastor used to tell us years ago, he says, man, if you want to hurt a Baptist, shoot him in the pocketbook. It's a good test of spirituality. Okay? And so, some of you look at me kind of hard. We still okay here? Huh? All right. So they started to grow. And this is all to God's credit, not me, not anybody else, but to God's credit. And began to find out what it means to trust God. Because I told our folks at the very beginning, this rich Americano, and every one of you in here, to most third world countries, you're very, very rich.
That's right.
Even with Wall Street and the shape it's in. Come on, move it up and down. Uh-huh. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how well or how fair it is, but yeah, okay. Anyhow, so they began to grow. Now, we're a church like yours. Not everybody's on the same page, but a good majority of our folks now will tell you this. I cannot, but God will do it through me. Now, our little church where we are on the backside of the world, general fund's about $130 a month right now. $2.50 to $3 a day, okay? Our Faith Promise Missions Conference this last March, the promise was $205 a month. Now, that's not my money. I tithe and I give to missions, but we're not talking about that now. We're talking about them. And they're giving money to buy property and build a building. See, I told them, America's not buying your property. America's not building your building. The same God that will work through American Christians is the same God that will work through the Filipino Christian if you learn to trust Him. Learn to trust Him. And we need to remember this because as things, and I think they're going to continue to get hard here. As things are getting harder here, most of us don't know what it was to live during the Great Depression. Some might, but most of us do not. But whether it gets that bad or not, remember this. What kind of God do we serve? And you can tell me all you want to, but the way we live proves what kind of God we serve and what we believe about Him. And by the way, remember, there's a lost and dying world watching us. And it makes no difference what we say in our mouth, but it makes every difference of how we live and how we act, especially during the hard times.
That's right.
Say, well, brother, do you get it right all the time? Don't I look like a sinner saved by grace just like you? Of course I don't. But it doesn't change the fact this is where we're supposed to be. And so they grow. They're growing, and they're giving, and they're witnessing, and they're going out and doing the work of God. And the church started. Hopefully we'll get to start another one. My goal, I told you when I came here and you put me on for support, my goal was to work with a national pastor, which that's what I'm doing. We're teaching the Bible college. I have opportunity to be with them. And then and to train them, and when the work could stand on its own two feet, called indigenous, turn it over and go ahead. Well, instead of that happening, God's had a different plan. I've stayed, and he's moved my workers out. One in Indonesia, one in heaven right now in a motorcycle accident, and then Ruel. And I'm hoping God's going to leave Ruel there, but he may not. But it doesn't change anything. We still do the work until he tells me to go do something else. And so the work goes on. The work has been started. Hopefully we'll get some more. I want us to have some children in the ministry, so to speak, and with churches. And that's what we need, because God's calling Filipinos to go in places that we Americans can't go. And I'm a firm believer that God can supply what they need through the Filipino churches if they'll ever learn how to trust him. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the way I feel about it. Now, so that's the purpose of us, our mission, the purpose, I think, of missions in general, then the people of missions, of course, is those that God has saved. And he's saving people there in MacArthur. And by the way, you folks here support us. The people that God has saved there in our place in the Philippines, I believe, is added to your account here. But not only that, the 7 missionaries that our folks support in Indonesia, Taiwan, and Vietnam, the people that are being saved there is also added to your account. And then you multiply that for all the missionaries that you support. I don't know how many total you support, but man, it branches out. It gets out. And so just think about all of that. But God will use, just like in Antioch, in that church in Antioch, those folks were there serving God in the local church. And that's where God calls people out, people that are already serving God. How many of you remember the cars before we had power steering? Now, which was easier, to turn that steering wheel when it was sitting still or when it was moving? When it was moving. It's a whole lot easier to get people involved in the work of God when they're already doing the basics, so to speak, in their local church. So you have the people of God. I'll use the word ordinary church members, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, think about the woman at the well. Christ talked to her. She got saved. What'd she do? Fold her arms, sit down, do nothing? No, she went back and told the people in her town, and she wasn't a lady. So I can't imagine what people were thinking when she was coming back in town, but you know, I think she had God all over her. See, the thing of it is, I believe when a person truly gets saved, there's a verse in the Bible that says something like this: they become new creatures. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. You don't have to beg them to come to church. You don't have to beg them to study and read the Bible. You don't have to beg them to give. And if they stay right with God, they don't badmouth the pastor too bad. We still friends? We still friends in here? Pastor hadn't talked to me about anything. The church in Jerusalem, you know, God told them to go out. They all sitting around the spout where the glory was pouring out. Things were happening in Jerusalem, man. People getting saved. God said them to go. They didn't go till persecution hit. Then they went. But what I'm saying is, it was the members of the church. And that's who God gave the command to take the gospel around the world, both here and around the world. So our folks are doing the same thing there. And then, of course, you have the special call full-time, like the apostles, whatnot. And so the Lord has told us in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already in the harvest. What's he tell us to pray for? Pray for laborers. Pray for more people to go. Pray for more labor. Listen, probably I'm preaching to the choir in here, because I think your pastor is pretty good about this, but have you asked God, will you use me on the foreign field? Well, brother, I'm too old. Hey, I was 45 when God made a career change in my life. Now, I'd been serving in my home church for 17 years, but that, you know, then he said, go somewhere else. I learned a long time ago, man, it's not age, it's availability. That's the name of the game. And sad to say, there's more older missionaries going to the field than there are younger ones for some reason. And there's plenty of room for more workers. Pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. Okay? And then we talk about the provision made. God, I said that a while ago. God's given the command, and he makes provision for all of that. And we've been teaching our people how to give there. And, you know, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it talks about those poor Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 5, what is it, over in Macedonia? So they were poor. But here's the thing, they first gave themselves. I got to thinking about that. And the Lord brought my mind back to Isaiah. And when Isaiah got a true picture of God, it was life-changing on him. Here I am, I, Lord, send me. It worries me a little bit as to what we as Christians today really believe about our God. Not by what we say or what we know in our head, but the way we're acting with the way things are going around now, especially the economy, okay? God's not in Wall Street, folks. Never has been. It didn't bother him a bit. He's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands. Oh, well, what's Wall Street going to do tomorrow? You know, what's the barrel of gas? So, well, brother, doesn't this affect you? Sure it did. I've lost a lot of my, quote, retirement here on earth, and I had to fuel that vehicle out there to run up and down the roads, just like you do. But it doesn't change the fact. Last time I checked, God still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He still owns the hills. He owns the gold in the hills. It's all his. Every bit of it. And I find that when people first give their heart 100% to God, the rest of it just comes natural. It just comes natural. And that's what God wants. He says he's a jealous God. He'll have no other gods before him. And I live in a country where there's gods all over the place, man. I got one sitting out there on my table if you want to go see one. That's a real idol sitting out there. Not American. Some of you are afraid to say anything because you think pastor's going to get on to you. American Idol, you get it, okay? All right. But Isaiah got a true picture of God, a powerful God, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, all the time, immutable, not changing, God of love, the Creator, the Savior, the head of the church, so forth, so on. This is our God that we are serving. This is the God that saved us, folks. We need to be careful about this part right here. Now, if you're going to do it, that's fine. Get you another brother or sister in Christ that's more mature than you are and go somewhere and spill your heart out. But don't let the world see it. They're looking for something that's real. There's so many fakes in this world, not just here in America, but around the world. They're looking for the real McCoy, the real thing. And that's what they need to be seeing in our life. Isaiah saw a true picture of God. And as it says in Isaiah 6:5, we need to search our heart. And as God reveals things that's not right, we need to confess it. Make it right to the Lord. Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone, unclean lips. That's what getting a good, true picture of God would do to us. Man, we'll clean up. We'll clean up. Because we see what's going on. You know, it's like a mirror. It says it's like a mirror. We look into the mirror. Now, how many of us in the morning, we look in the mirror, we turn the light off and stand in the dark while we're looking in the mirror? Man, you ladies have lipstick up here and down here, and I hope you guys aren't wearing lipstick. Some of you need to smile. You're making me nervous. Okay? No, you wouldn't do that, man. You got the lights on bright. You want to see every little thing so you can cover it up. At least I do. I'm going to start doing like my Filipino men overseas. It bothers me. I've got men over there older than I am, jet black hair. Here I am, white and falling out. But I found out a lot of times they use shoe polish to color that, so I may start doing that myself, get some of that back, okay? Submit to the will of God, Isaiah 6:8. He says, here am I, send me. God has a will for every one of his children. It's found right here in the Word of God. It'll never go against the Word of God. And we're not just talking about, is it God's will for me to be a pastor? You should know if it is or not. Is it God's will for me to be a missionary? You should know that or not. Hey, is it God's will for me to marry this person? Is it God's will, I would take a step further in my place, to date this person? Is it God's will for me to take this job? Well, brother, where will I find that in the Word of God? Well, like I tell our folks, all right, so you want to go to Manila. Is there a church up there that you already know about that you can join like ours? Well, Pastor, I don't know. The job you're going to, are they going to let you off enough so that you can be faithful in the house of God, at least on Sundays, and have time sometime during the week where you can go out and serve God and work in the church and serve Him? Pastor, I don't know. Hey, it's not the will of God, because those things are in the Bible. Some of you are looking at strange. The smiles are going away. Hey, I'm not kidding. Is it God's will for me to buy a new pair of shoes? Is it God's will for me to buy a dress or a shirt or whatever it is you're thinking about? How's that factor in the will of God? Doesn't He tell us to be good stewards? Amen. If it's going to interfere with what God's told us to do about giving, then it's not God's will.
Right.
It's just that plain, folks. It's not a hard, complicated thing. It's just a matter, are we going to keep listening to our enemy, the devil, or are we going to listen to God? That's where it comes down to. So when we see a true picture of God or have an honest understanding of God, we'll search our heart, confess our sins, then we will submit to the will of God. They gave themselves first. God told Isaiah in Isaiah 6:9, same message we have now, go and tell this people. Go and tell this people. You know, when God had Moses to lead the children of Israel out, got to a point and over in Exodus chapter 14, He says, tell the people, go forward. He didn't say go backwards. And think about that. He's led them out to the Red Sea. Didn't give them a boat, didn't give them a bridge. And on top of all of that, He sent Pharaoh and his army behind. They're in a bad position. And can you imagine the audacity of God telling His people, go forward. Go forward. And that word go is still in our vocabulary today. Go forward for God. Do not back up. Continue on keeping on for God. Talking about the missionary a while ago coming home. Listen, I grew up over here. I'm a North Carolinian, in case you can't figure it out. I don't think the accent's totally gone yet. I grew up over in Siler City in Liberty, North Carolina area. We had chair factories and hosiery mills. And buddy, in the morning, the whistle blew when it was time to go to work. In the afternoon, it blew again when it was time to go home. And the trump has not sounded for us yet. It hasn't sounded. When it's time to go home, we'll know it. And until that time, occupy. Occupy. Listen, devil's had his crowd occupying everything around here. It's time we take some of it back. So, well, I can't do that. You're right. You can't. I can't. But God can. God can. We got to remember, who is God? What can He do? He can do anything. He is the God of the impossible. He can take Abraham and Sarah and give them a baby. Thank God it was them and not my wife and I. Man, that'd have been tough. You know? He told Abraham, sacrifice that son. How in the world could he do that? Abraham believed the promises of God because God had told him, hey, you're going to have descendants. And actually, right on down the line, through him. And Abraham knew if he killed him, God would have to raise him up. Isaac asked him, Dad, we got the wood. We got everything we need here. Where's the sacrifice? What did he tell him? God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Is anything too hard for God? But let me ask you this question. Is there anything in your or my life that we think is too hard for God? Be careful how you answer. Right attitude, right motive about giving. Our folks learned that too. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 8. How do we show God that we love Him? Keep my what?
Commandments.
Huh? 2 Corinthians 9:7. They gave cheerfully. They gave bountifully in 2 Corinthians 9:6. They trusted God to meet their needs. Going back to that example with Moses a while ago, he told him, says, Moses, hold up the stick, hold up the rod. You know what God wanted from Moses? He wanted what Moses already had. He didn't say, "Well, Moses, now you come over here, and I'm going to let you build a dam and back this water up." Here's what he told him. Use the rod that I've already given. Use the rod that we turned into a snake. Use the rod, the same one we used with Pharaoh and his crowd. Use that rod. Hold it up. Use what you already have. God has given us everything we need, folks. And what he's telling us, go forward and use in my work what I've already given you. I was teaching our people that. They said, Pastor, if I do that, I won't have enough money to buy food for my family. I said, well, here's the thing. If you do it, then the promise in Philippians 4:19 takes effect. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But Pastor, if I do that, I won't have money to buy medicine for my family. I won't be able to buy clothes for my family. I won't be able to put my kids in school. You know, it's the same thing you and I have to face. But as I said, what kind of God are we serving? Man, that's where the faith comes in. Give what you have, what he's already given. Hold that hand out and let it flow through doing the work of God. And God will keep letting it come through there. But as soon as you do that, it stops. It's dammed up like a dam on a river. It's dammed up. It's the end of it. And as things get tougher and tougher here in America, folks, I'm in enough churches, I'm starting to see this now. And sad to say, Pastor, and I don't think this is happening in your church, but a lot of places it's starting at the top and coming down. It's not starting at the bottom and going up. And folks, if the leadership gets scared, you're going to have people scatter. They're going to scatter. We got to keep up. And then the right purpose for giving. The right purpose for giving. Preach the gospel. And it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. I want to close with this. This is one of the missionaries we support. Lito Davi is in Vietnam. And got this letter a week or so ago. Remember, Vietnam's a closed country, communist country. I've been there. I had the privilege of going last year with some other guys in the Philippines. My wife went with me. And anyway, here's what he says in part of this letter. I want to read this to you. He says, we have yet to formally introduce ourselves as missionaries. And remember where they're at. And remember that they could be put out of the country or even put in jail for what they're doing. We have yet to formally introduce ourselves as missionaries. However, we can sense the question in their eyes. One particular time, while serving some refreshments, I said, is it all right if I pray before we eat? See, what they do, they meet the people. They become friendly with them. They will invite them into their home to have coffee. Vietnamese people love coffee. They will invite them into their home, have coffee or dessert or a meal. And then they're praying and asking God, open the door. And when they see the opportunity, they take it. You know, that'll work here in America. That'll work here in America. I'm tired of trying to bring unsaved people into the church. We now deal with them in the home. When they get saved, they're a whole lot easier to bring to church. So one particular time, while serving some refreshments, I said, is it all right if I pray before we eat? Because in the Philippines, we are Christians, and we pray to our God and thank him for giving us the food. There was this awful silence. My heart was pounding, and reluctantly, there was this faint answer of, and I probably will not pronounce this right, but Co Hong So, Vietnamese for no problem. Okay? So I prayed, and we started eating. I know in my heart that God was prompting me to do something than just pray. He wanted me to move on to another notch. So I asked this question. Do you believe in God? I did not wait for her to answer and continued talking. I said, we believe in God and in the Bible. I looked at my wife and said, can you get my Bible, please? I placed my Bible in front of this Buddhist lady who for the first time has seen it. That's hard for us to understand here. We got Bibles sitting around on shelves collecting dust. But this is the first time she'd ever seen it. I opened to Genesis 1:1. I asked her to read this verse. She can speak and understand average English. You should see her hands trembling while pointing to the words that she was reading. I told her that there is a God who has created you and everything that you can see. Then these sweet words came blurting out of her mouth. I wish I could know more about this God. See, our folks get excited about the missionaries they support. We when the prayer letter comes in, my wife makes out questions about what's in that prayer letter. And then that's given to the people. And when that prayer letter goes up and they go over there and fill it out, then they go to our mission secretary and she checks it off. And then they keep the information so they know how to pray for them. And when we started Faith Promise for about 4 years, we still put the amount up on a poster with the promise the for the month and you know for and the weeks in each month. For at least 4 years, our folks stood outside while our two ladies counted the offering to see what God did. And buddy, when that thing was met each time, they got so excited because they realized that's something we can't do, but God's doing it through us anyway. And then when they get letters like this and find out there's people being saved and they've had a part in it, just like you've been doing for years and years and years, they're so excited about it. And you've had a part in helping them to get to that point. Folks, we love you. We love what you're doing here. We love what God's doing through you. But I'm telling you, there's a big world out there and lots of people that need to hear the truth